Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for blade lovers to learn about knives and hear from the makers, manufacturers, and reviewers that make the knife world go round. I'm Bob DeMarco, and coming up, we're going to take a look at the knives I carried on Halloween, some new QSPs, and the 10 best knives to get stranded with.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome back to the show. My favorite comment from this past week, there were two of them, but they were both on the Brighton Blades interview. First was, my daughter loves Brighton Blades, says Jeremy Nedro. I love hearing that. And then Jason Scott said, that's really nice to see a family working together to make knives focused on women. Fun interview, Bob. And a lot of other people mentioned how they like seeing, you know, a mother-daughter team. It's a mother-daughter's team. It's a great thing to see. And I like it too. And incidentally, they sent my wife a little knife. It comes in a little zipper case, and she loves it. And she says that the knife itself is really easy for her smaller hands to open. So she really appreciates the knife, and I appreciate them. That's Brighton Blades. Check out the interview with them. All that being said, I think it is now time for a pocket check. You know, I've been in my Bowie phase, and I've been carrying this knife a lot. This is an old favorite. This is from 2013. I bought this. This is the CQC 13 by, Ernest Emerson and Emerson Knives. They're not their very first Bowie, but the first one that they became famous for, far and wide. I think the first one they did was a take on the, Kalashnikov bayonet that has a clip point. But this is a full-bred American Bowie knife. I love the shape of this blade. And when I got this, they were very hard to find. And like most Emersons, they come in and out. You know, they tool up the shop for the production of one kind of knife, so to speak, and then they move on. So you can't always get, it's not like a constant stream of these. But when I was looking for one in 2013, I remember really feeling like I was compromising getting it with the serrations because it interrupts the line. Now, this blade has a really, really nice shape. And I must admit those teeth do interrupt, the shape a little bit, but I've learned to live with it. A and B, you know, these chisel edge blades are ridiculously sharp. And then you add those serrations and that's actually a portion of the blade that is just, a force to be reckoned with. So I'm glad in the long run that I have it. I'm veering back towards serrations for a number of different kinds of knives and this sort of application all around her, but definitely on the self-defense side, those work great. Now you might notice these are wearing, micarta scales. These are from Vantage Point. That's Tom Engelson. He was on the show and he's done a couple of my Emersons. He does such great work. He used to be Blades and Such. You remember I talked about him quite a bit when I was having these scales made. His work has progressed amazingly, and he just makes beautiful work. So happy always to be carrying the CQC 13, but especially in Bowie season for me. Okay, speaking of Bowies and clip points, today and for like, I don't know, I guess I'd say the last week, I've been carrying the Benny's clip. Love the Benny's clip. This is Jack Wolf Knives. Largest knife, I guess there's I can't remember which other one. I was kind of lining them up. And there's another one that is about the same length. But this one feels the heaviest. It feels like it's the heaviest duty. It's a Benny's clip. And I think part of that is because this is the one blade from Jack Wolf Knives so far that isn't a full height hollow grind. So you have a little bit more meat up here in the flats, and it gives the knife a little heavier duty feel. This knife was in my pocket when my wife was running the Marine Corps Marathon. I want to congratulate Mrs. Knife Junkie on her first and last, she says, marathon, and it was the right one. It was the Marine Corps Marathon. She's always wanted to run that. So we went out for a celebratory meal. She got this amazing-looking steak. I got a half chicken, trying to be responsible, you know, the old ticker. But this is what I took that chicken apart with. And this is such a great food knife. I love this knife for, I've used it for steak in the past. I really enjoy the shape of it. That slight recurve at the tip really aids in the cutting, and it's just a luxurious feel. And I also love spotting the waiters, spotting the knives. Like, he's not using that wet-handled saw I handed him. This is a classy individual, they always say, to themselves. So that's what I had in my front left pocket today, the Jack Wolf knives. I've also been carrying, Benny's clip, I've also been carrying this actually a bit the past week. This is the CJRB Scoria. This was the folder I had in my pocket because I wasn't sure if there was going to be any metal detectors. And, you know, come to think of it, this makes no sense to me. Now I wasn't making sense because I had the Jack Wolf knife in my pocket. And that's, so actually didn't really think that one through, but I had the Scoria on me as sort of a less expensive option that I could go trucking around with. Sometimes I can be quite absent-minded, dear audience. So anyway, a CJRB Scoria, great knife, thin, nice and thin. It's got that beautiful micarta, AARPM9, a polarizing design, but I don't know why. I think it's just a very plain and kind of simple and beautiful, design. I love the blade shape and the choil. So great knife. This fits great in the back pocket as well, but it's a full size knife. So I had that. That was my ESK emotional support knife. And my fixed blade today was actually, one that, I'm going to show here instead of the state of the collection. This is a new one sent to me by QSP. They sent me three knives, and, thank you, David. They are awesome knives, and I've been carrying two of them and using a third. But here's the, neck knife. It's called the Canary. And, this one has this, cool sort of carbon fiber-esque, Kydex sheath. Very nice sheath. Very thin and light package is this Canary. And it's got a really nice ball chain with, it sort of looks like Morse code, to me, but it's got the ball chain and then a longer, piece and then a ball chain and a longer piece. And actually, when you're wearing it, it kind of looks like a necklace, less like a beaded chain that has a knife on it and more like a, oh, Bob, I didn't know you were a necklace guy. Well, you haven't known me for that long, you know, that kind of thing. Let me show you the knife. I'm really impressed with this beautiful little knife. So it's got a Damasteel blade. This is my first. And then that carbon fiber is aluminum carbon fiber. How cool is that? So that means that's aluminum swirled in there with that carbon fiber. And the handle is nice and light, nice and thin. Those four speed holes are great. This is a three-finger knife. And I say those speed holes are great because you can weave a fob, you know, weave some paracord through there in such a way that it's kind of a braided effect. And then when it meets down at the bottom, tie a knot and it'll feel like it'll give you the stability of a four-finger knife. I'm not going to do that. I like the thinness of this package. Also, look at the jimping. The jimping is very cool on the spine. It is a spiral cut jimping. And at first it had a very funny feel to me, but your thumb really does lock in. And at first I thought, oh, my thumb's going to just go sliding off the side, and it doesn't happen. But just feels great in hand. I love this little Canary. So I've been wearing this past few days as my neck knife. I had it today, not as my neck knife, but as my fixed blade, and it just so happens to be a neck knife. So my carry today, the Emerson CQC-13, Jack Wolf Knives, Benny's Clip, the CJRB Scoria, and the beautiful Damasteel Canary with the aluminum foil carbon fiber handles. What were you carrying today? Let me know. I do want to know because it always helps me kind of figure out if I want to get something or reminds me about knives I've forgotten about that you all love and carry. So let me know down below. I also, before we move on, it's sort of a carry thing. I want to show you what I was carrying for Halloween. Okay. So we went to some friend's house. They moved into a new neighborhood and, you know, me being me and not knowing the neighborhood, I did overkill. You know, I didn't have a costume, but I did have a few knives And I really did consider what I was going to carry. I don't know where this is. It ends up, it's a very nice neighborhood. So all of this was pretty much unnecessary. But I don't know. You know, you never know. Halloween does bring out the creeps. So I had a couple of knives, three of them. I'll start with the small one. I had the Launch 9. This is my pull this out and use it on those really stubborn, like taffy packages. Most of the Halloween candy is built to get into pretty easily, but those things that are like Laffy Taffy, where the candy actually sticks to the wrapper and all that, sometimes you need a little bit more. And sometimes you don't want to pull out your big carry to open up a kid's candy. So you bring out something cool like this. And this one got a lot of nice wear because it lived on my keychain for about, I don't know, half a year, something like that. But really gave this futuristic looking knife. Now it looks like an old worn-in spaceship to me. But I had this along with me and did use it for just that, banana Laffy Taffy. In my front right pocket for creeps and criminals, I have the Yojumbo 2, just a nice big 4-inch S30V hollow ground Warncliffe blade built for speed and conflict. And I love this knife, but it's also, despite all of that macho talk, it is a great utility knife. Albeit large. A lot of people don't like large knives. If you do, this is a great, great utility knife. And if you don't like something 4 inches, well then go for the Yojimbo because it has the same, breeding. It is a defensive blade by breeding, but just so happens that shape is ideal for utility as well. So what is it? Which do you call it? To me, it's like a modern day pocket sax. And that's what I was carrying on Halloween in my front right pocket. Now, here's where the overkill comes in. I ended up stashing it back in my car after feeling uncomfortable. But I was carrying my Topps Zabo Express double edge fighter here, and I had it in CM carry. And if you remember CMFTW, Matt Freeman on YouTube, a knife maker and character. He used to carry his 7-inch, 7.5-inch fixed blade fighters that he would carry on his person. In California, you can't carry it concealed, so it had to be shown off. So he would carry it on his belt, and it would dangle below his jacket line so you could see the handle of his blade. And that's how I was carrying this, in CM carry, so that you can draw it out and have it in reverse grip, or you can just reach and reverse your orientation and pull it out and have it in regular fencing grip. What do you call this? Saber grip. And that's how, this is what I carry when I walk the dog at night, and that's how I carry it. Heaven forbid I ever need it because a dog off a leash or something like that. I would have it ready to go, but it's discreet enough in the dark at night in my neighborhood that no one sees it. But in this beautiful, charming sort of Spielberg-esque neighborhood that we were trick-or-treating in, I really quickly felt uncomfortable because I could feel this peeking below, and there are all these little kids, and I'm like, you know how sometimes children randomly reach up for hands and grab onto something, and suddenly you look down and there's some kid holding onto you, and you're like, oh, I think that's your dad over there. Well, what if they reach up and they grab the Zabo Express, and suddenly there's a kid running around like, oh, sweet. You know, then you're in real trouble. So all these things ran through my mind, and I realized I was not trick or treating on the moors, you know, where the werewolves run. So I quickly disarmed, to the extent that I came out, and a wonderful evening was had by all. I did pilfer the girls, bags for Butterfingers and Reese's. And I think they've changed the recipes for both, or I'm just getting old. All right. Still to come on the Knife Junkie podcast. We're going to take a look at a couple of new knives. One of them is a giant mouse, very beautiful looking fixed blade. And then after that, we'll get to the state of the collection and the 10 best knives to get stranded with. Coming up right here on the Knife Junkie podcast.
If you're a knife junkie, you're always in the market for a new knife. And we've got you covered. For the latest weekly knife deals, be sure to visit theknifejunkie.com/knives. Through our special affiliate relationships, we bring you weekly knife specials on your favorite knives. Help support the show and save money on a new knife. Shop at theknifejunkie.com/knives. That's theknifejunkie.com/knives.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
Voxnes and Anzo, they come together. They have Giant Mouse, a very cool knife company by the two Danish designers, the storied Danish designers. Everyone loves their designs, myself included. Well, when they come together, man, they really put out some cool stuff. Giant Mouse, I love the name even, and their logo. They have a new one out, and it is a beautiful do-all clip point kind of camp blade. This is the largest Giant Mouse thus far, and you know, naturally the largest fixed blade they have here. It's a 5.5-inch blade, or 5.65 inches, and about the same size handle. Just a beautiful full flat ground clip point N690 blade. They do have all of their knives OEM'd, I believe, all of their knives OEM'd in Italy. So you're going to get the N690 most of the time, and I think on a few they do M390 for some of the more premium stuff. But look at that blade. And if you're not looking, it's the height of simplicity, but it's just really resonating with my Bowie love. They call it a drop point, and I beg to differ. That is clearly a clip point. But has a couple of hallmarks of outdoor knives that I really like, and I think most knives should have. And that is a lashing point, not only for the lanyard at the pommel, and this has a exposed tang down there, so you can use it as an impact tool, but it also has a lashing point on the finger guard. So you can make that sort of D-ring between the out of paracord between those two lashing points to keep on your hand for long bouts of work. If you're using a knife a lot and you don't want to keep putting it down, putting it in the sheath or whatever, but you need your hands, I have seen, now I haven't had the need for this because I'm not much of an outdoorsman, but I have seen people have the knife attached to their hand just with the paracord so they can use their fingers and do, you know, manipulate. And then when they need the knife, it's already in their palm. That's something I think is cool. Also, the Predator Arnold Schwarzenegger side of me also likes that you could remove those handle scales and use those two lashing points to make it a spear, you know, for survival. But beautiful, beautiful leather sheath. I wish we would all, not all, but I wish a lot of knives would go back to leather. Unless I'm wearing it on my person, in the waistband, you know, give me leather. If I'm going to hang it on my belt, I want leather. I just love leather. Okay. So that's the new one from Giant Mouse. I like it a lot. The GM9. Oh, wait, what is this called? What is this called? Jeez, I do apologize. It's a big one. The GMF4. Okay. So, on to the next one. We have, in Life Knife News, it's the James brand. Now, you know, I like to talk about them because they approach knives from a different angle. I believe they come from a product design background that went into shoes, I believe Nike, and also some fashion, I believe. So their approach is interesting, and they have a lot of really stylish knives that they've had OEM'd by some of the top manufacturers. This new one, the Palmer, kind of cutely named because it fits in the palm. It is a replaceable blade utility cutter. We've seen a lot of people, a lot of custom makers, Todd Rexford and G&G Hawk, Grant and Gavin Hawk, and just recently, and many others come out with their versions of replaceable blade cutters. And there is a real, you know, real market for them. Just go to Home Depot. You'll see tons of them. Now, of course, you're probably not going to want to get a $60 James brand Palmer and show up to the construction site. But who knows? Maybe you do a lot of packing of packages. Maybe you do a lot of work, you know, at a framer's or in a warehouse or something where you're not going to destroy it, but you're going to love using because you use this kind of thing all the time. I myself never quite, the most excited I've gotten about one of these kind of cutters is the Grant and Gavin Hawk one that recently came out, because it's just, you know, it's them, and it's their design, and it really resonates. It's spectacular. This is actually for the type, a very cool, cute, charming little piece of kit. They come in a wide range of colors. I was looking at it on their website, and you know, for a brand that makes a $600 knife that they OEM, $60 is pretty reasonable for an anodized aluminum cutter with this sort of intricate innards. So check that out from the James brand. That is the cleverly named Palmer, a new stylish replaceable blade utility cutter. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to the state of the collection and the 10 best knives to get stranded with. But first, if you think what we do here is interesting and fun and you want to win a knife or have the chance to win a knife every third Thursday of the month, just come right here to Patreon, theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. Check out the three levels of support that we offer currently. You can also just get it all done in one fell swoop and save 12% if you pay annually. We've had a number of people take advantage of that recently. Anyway, check us out there. And if not, thank you one and all just for watching and enjoying and commenting. And we'll see you on the other side.
The Get Upside app is your way to get cash back on your gas purchases. Get Upside is an app you put on your smartphone, and whenever you need to get gas, search your area for savings, claim your discount, fill up your tank, and then take a picture of the receipt with your phone. And that's it. You've just got cash back. Visit theknifejunkie.com/save on gas to get the app and start saving. Again, that's theknifejunkie.com/save on gas.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
There it is. You know it. It's the QSP Penguin. And this is the original version that got the whole large collectible universe of QSP Penguin started. This is the one with the denim micarta. I do believe this was the first one. Look at that. Look around the clip. You can see how pristine it is under there and how funky it is here. I love that. I love micarta patina, and this is a great knife. That's why it's got that patina. Most of my micarta doesn't look like that. This is a dedicated desk knife. It's always getting picked up and used. Well, David Cam, who our good buddy over at Orion Knives, has an in with QSP, and he sent me a couple of these QSPs to check out, new QSPs, and I am grateful. Now, I showed you the Canary, which I really have enjoyed wearing. But he also sent me to check out two penguins that are so cool. The first one is the Penguin Mini by QSP. Look at this little guy. It's in line with some of my favorite little micro knives. Here it is with the Launch 9. You see, and it's about the same size as the Baby Rhino from Off Grid Knives, but you're taking the same form factor from the regular QSP, the same width, the same almost the same dimensions, same pivot, same everything basically, just shorter blade, shorter handle. But all of this is the same, and it works great. And that is the key. I'm starting to discover that is the key with these little micro knives. Is keep them the same width as the original. But, you know, so it'll be easier, much easier to hold on to a three-finger knife when you have that width. And they did that here, and I love this little thing. It just, man, it feels really good, and it's on bearings, so eventually it will get super smooth. And even I suspect, even with this tiny little blade, it'll still fall shut. How tiny, you ask? That is a 2.25-inch blade. 2.25-inch. How cute. This is a 14C28N blade steel. I do like that the only, not the only, but I do like that they have the proprietary pivot, the triangle, and the circle. It reminds me of something. I can't think of what it is. Like, it's either, like, funny enough, Alcoholics Anonymous symbol or the Harry Potter symbol. I can't remember, but there's like a triangle circle thing. Every time I look at that, I keep thinking I got to go look it up so I don't talk out of school. So the other penguin they sent was the Penguin Plus. And this is so cool. I highly recommend going to the QSP website, actually, and looking at all of the variations of both of these. This is a 20 CV blade, and that's a longer blade here. You have 1, 2, 3.5 inches. Now, on the website, it says 3.37 inches, but I keep coming out, I keep measuring it out at 3.5. And you have at least that in cutting edge because of where that sharpening notch is. So, really great blade. It's the same, feels like the same dimensions as the, and same geometry as the original, and in a titanium body. Now, these two titanium slabs are nice and thin, so it doesn't need any weight relief. You get stupendous action. It's already, you know, even with that coating, it's already getting drop shut. So I have no doubt that after a little bit more carry and use, it'll be just dropping shut. But anyway, as I was mentioning, both of these knives have a tremendous amount of variation if you go on the website, and just beautiful stuff. I do remember seeing some fat carbon and some swirly, colorful options. For me, this is like right up my alley. This black coated stuff. This black coated titanium. I just got lazy at the end of that sentence. You got a frame lock here with the insert, but I want to point out that this wire clip is stout and really nice. I generally am not crazy about the wire clips, but this wire clip is really good. Actually, I've noticed recently that people are making some pretty good ones. This one is to my liking, definitely. QSP, nicely done. So those are two of the three QSPs that I got to check out this week. Thank you very much. I really like it. I like the clip on this mini. This is the Penguin Mini. I like that clip better. Though those screws are standing proud, little tone deaf, guys. Just kidding. But I love this. I love this clip. This is kind of more my speed. At last in the state of the collection. Now you saw this if you tuned into Thursday Night Knives, but this beauty I've been waiting for a number of years, and it is the traditional Filipino weapons Taliban. And funny name. It's not named after the terrorist organization. It is an old traditional Filipino blade design. There's one over my shoulders right here. That used to be my dad's. I have always really loved the leaning forward, that almost Kukri-esque blade angle there. Just a wicked, wicked cutter. And I love traditional Filipino weapons. It is a company based out of Connecticut, Ron Kazakowski. He's a gentleman who's got a Jeet Kune Do and Kali Academy where he teaches people how to fight in these Filipino styles, as well as Jeet Kune Do. But he has a connection down in the Philippines and has these a whole bunch of different blades made by traditional smiths down there, and sells them up here. And they're just beautiful. Beautiful woodwork, beautiful steel work, very, very usable. I'm just going to put this hilt under here so you can see that beautiful woodwork. They brag about how they're combat ready. So if you're going into any sword fights, you'll be happy to know that these are combat ready. Which of course, that's exactly what I want to hear. Just because, but, they feel great. And I can vouch for the fact that they cut water bottles and pumpkins, like they are the enemy. So I wanted to show this off. There will be more of this, in videos of me testing it, and, we have a couple of jack-o'-lanterns that are about to get funky, and we have a couple of pumpkins that we need to clear out for Thanksgiving. So I think I'll be doing that with my traditional Filipino weapons Taliban. Love that knife. I would not mind having that knife on me for many, many situations, especially, you know, duels and combat. But what about the other kind of situations you might find yourself in? You accept a ride with a friend and you're out in the middle of nowhere and the car breaks down and your friend has a heart attack or breaks a leg or something and you're stranded and you have a knife on you, what are you going to want on you? Now, this list is a very difficult list for me to compile with the collection I have, because I have like you could say any knife that's on you, of course, any knife that's on you is better than no knife at all. And then you could also say, well, some very impractical knives are better to have on you than others. And that's true, but chances are you're not going to have those knives on you. Now, the caveat here is I keep a 9.5-inch Bowie in my car. That is a Schrade, and it is inexpensive. But after a couple of videos, I bought it as a car Bowie, and I said, Bob, don't be ridiculous. And then I've seen a couple of videos recently of things happening on the road. And I said, no, you know what? I bought that for my car. It's going in the car. So there it is. So it is possible to have a stout and sturdy fixed blade on you for this sort of situation. So I added some into this list, roughly half. So let's get to it. All right. First is a real low-hanging fruit. That's what this was designed for, exactly what this was designed for. This is the RSK Mark III by Doug Ritter and made by Hoag. Now, Doug Ritter, yeah, he's the guy who does knife rights. He's the guy who started and heads up knife rights and has had the laws changed in so many states, including my own, making this legal here. But you might not know this about him, if you haven't listened to any of my interviews with him, but he was a helicopter pilot and specialized in downed helicopter survival, and started making kits or downed aircraft survival, or just survival out in the wilderness remote. Because when you're in a helicopter or an airplane and you go down, you're probably remote. And that's where the design for all of his knives originated. Great steels, super steels, on great cutting geometry blades, using modest handle and other materials so that it's all affordable. So that's what led to this. He's made other fixed blades. This is his current, and it echoes the design of his Mark I, the quote-unquote Ritter grip that we all love so much, now made by Hoag, the RSK Mark I. Okay, so here it is. This is S45VN, and it's got a very tall, that's a 1.25-inch flat grind, so very robust but very thin behind the edge. It is small at about 5 inches in blade length, but large enough to get a lot of work done at 5 inches. You have a good posture for defensive fighting if you had to, if you needed this in a thrust. You have a finger guard and a nice well, and you have a wide blade that would produce a nasty wound. Say you're out there and you're concerned about an animal of some sort menacing you, coyotes, or I don't know what it is, but you could use this to great effect, especially if you remove these scales. These scales are removable. You might have to have the tool with you. So that's something you might want to have with you, but you could turn this into a spear quite easily, and you wouldn't have to take those off. But ergonomics that feel great. You could use this all day long to make a shelter. This is just it's a great, great package. I think this would probably be a good soldier knife too, except for the fact that I hear that a lot of soldier knives go missing. So you might not want something so nice. S45VN, I have appreciated this. This is my only S45VN. But I've used this quite a bit in the back, and I ordinarily hate nylon sheaths. This one is awesome. It's got a very stout lining on the inside, so it's not going to poke through the sheath and stab you in the leg if you're jumping around. It's got a nice leg thing here, a leg tie down, and then it has these great sort of MOLLE compatible loops that make it easy just to unsnap and put it on your belt, without having to take your belt off and all that. So great, great blade, and it's nice and light. Okay, next up. Now, this is sort of a representative of the type, but this one in particular is the Max, and that's the 4Max Scout. That was corny. But the reason when I say an example of the type, of course, I'm talking about that triad lock. So we know that cold steel just makes incredibly tough, sharp, robust knives. And this one, this is the Formax Scout based on a Andrew Demko custom knife, and then later turned into a high-end, expensive, foreign-produced, or a European and Taiwanese-produced Formax. And then they decided to go with the Scout route and make it inexpensive. That's Aus 10A. And man, they do a great job with Aus 8. They do an even better job with Aus 10 because it's a better steel on their budget side. They even have great 8CR13 MOV. I do know from my Luzon XL that I've just beaten over the years because, you know, it's the inexpensive knives that quote unquote can't take it that get the most beating. And they really do prove themselves. But anyway, this knife, so thick, so robust, and with the triad lock, just it'll do until a fixed blade gets here. I mean, this thing is as strong as you're going to need it to be. Pretty thick blade, but with that saber grind and then a pretty high edge bevel, it comes to a very nice sharp cutting edge. So the Formax Scout would be an awesome one to be stranded with. This one was a gift to me by Jimmy Slash. Thank you, Josh. I cherish this knife. Actually, I put this this fob on in his honor because all of his or many of his knives have that on there. So here's to you. All right, next up, in the same realm and from the same designer, but a little more bougie version, we're gonna go with the Demko Knives 80-20.5. So this is the knife you have on you when you get stranded, when you're driving in the middle of nowhere in your friend's car, and you're like, man, I knew we shouldn't have gone. And something happens to him or her. You get out to use the bathroom. A leg is broken. The car won't start. This is the knife you have on you. You're going to be happy about that for many reasons. It is a full-size knife. So that's a 3.65 inch blade, and you've got very good width here. This is a little bit over half an inch thick and just feels great. Those ergonomics are awesome and they give you some options. You can be back here in the regular standard grip. You can do the hammer grip that shark lock we all know, has no effect on any of your grips, which is amazing. I remember when this first came out, I thought, that looks like it might be uncomfortable. But even if you come up and use that choil and you use like a very, very firm hammer grip, I don't feel it. It disappears in there. So you have a very robust blade stock and a pretty stout geometry here. Very sharp, very, very sharp, but not a shrinking violet. This is a very, very strong knife. And then you have really great texture you don't hear much about on these knives. Really great diamond texture. It's like the floor of a earth mover or something like that. You got a big, fat, wide pivot. And then, of course, the super strong shark lock. That is, you know, that's the star. That's why we're looking at this folder, because it has that shark lock. Like the triad lock that we were just looking at, also designed by Andrew Demko, the shark lock is designed to become stronger over time as the parts and pieces work into one another and wear into one another. The spring in here pushes the lock ever forward into its position, making it always more and more locked up. And then, of course, if you have your thumb on this delicious thumb ramp back here, that's what this lock becomes, an awesome thumb ramp, really nicely jimped. Well, that adds to the strength of the lock. Totally unnecessarily, but it just does. So the Demko 80-20.5, and I would say by extension that this is the 80-20 MG. When I made my list for Jim, I just out of reflex said 80-20.5. So that is incorrect. This is actually the 80-20 MG. MG means machine ground. So this was all done in the shop there, the Demko shop, except the grinding of the blade, the bevel of the blade, was ground by a machine. Beautiful, awesome, robust knife. I could just stare at it all day. All right. Next up, this is one that a lot of people are likely to have. A lot of people out there who have served in our militaries, thank you for your service, have these knives because they've served, or some version of it. And that is, in this case, the USMC K-Bar. This one I adore. I got this in 1991. My brother gave it to me. And the cool thing about this one, it came in a really cool, box and it had a fold out, wish I still had this. It had a fold out, set of plans for, blueprints basically for this knife and the sheath, for when they were pitching it, to the U.S. government, when the government was gonna, replace the M3 trench knife as their main fighting utility knife. The K-Bar, this one is a re-release from that era, so it's got a fully sharpened swedge, which I love. Nowadays, they make them. They do not have the sharpened swedge, and it's not as hawk build. This makes, an outstanding weapon when you turn it over. Well, it makes an outstanding weapon in any orientation, but that sharpened swedge in that radical hawk bill, or that swooped hawk bill, makes for a nasty weapon. Nowadays, they make them with the swedge that is straight and unsharpened. And really that's more because it's being used as a utility knife almost exclusively. And so not as much of its weapon-iness goes into it. Either way, you'd be in great stead if you were stranded with this or the other K-Bar. Actually, I'd prefer the modern K-Bar because it is a very stout and sturdy knife. It's proven. That's something that you cannot put enough value on. It's been proven over time, by soldiers in many wars and those soldiers who have returned with those knives and used them for year after year after year for hunting and camping. Fishing and all of that. There's one of those on the wall behind me that my brother got me from the Korean War. It's the same thing. It was used during the war and then definitely after. And so these things have really proven themselves as incredible knives. I've been looking to get a new K-Bar just to have a modern representation of it. I think it's responsible as someone who calls himself a knife junkie to do that. So I'm going to do that. As a matter of fact, I'd like to get the Case version. Case also did they still make a prototype or a version of the prototype they did and that they submitted. It's a good looking knife. So that is the K-Bar. And, what a great knife that would be. A lot of people have them just hanging out in their trucks. So great, great knife for that. Okay. So this one is a little bit different. You're going out with all your tactical friends, for some beers and you want to impress them. With the knife you have in your pocket. Well, this one is impressive for a number of reasons. And one of them is that it is super robust. So, if this were the tool you had to rely on in a stranding situation, you'd be in pretty good shape. And that is the Spartan Harzy folder. See what I mean? You're out with the friends you need to impress. So yeah, it's a fancy, expensive folder. But so is the Demco. The Demco just looks less fancy because it's got G10 on it. But this is all shiny and titanium. But man, so this knife, to me, distills all of the best qualities of Hinderer and Chris Reeve knives, out into something, that is greater than the sum of both of those. I don't know. I think that this knife feels so incredibly sturdy, to me that of all of the hard use, quote unquote, hard use overbuilt knives that I have, I think this one feels the stoutest. It feels like, in hand, it feels like a solid piece. You have no weight relief in these thick titanium slabs. You have really nice contouring, so it feels comfortable in hand. It's very ergonomic. You have really good gription here with excellent wide cut jimping. That's kind of jimping I prefer. You have it down here too, which is important. For especially when opening, you want a little bit of a grip there. But also just in all sorts of cutting, to have jimping here is you can't have it enough. Also, it's great in reverse grip. But this blade shape is very useful. It's 4 inches. And it's stout. Now, this is one of those knives that I've wanted to have reground hollow, because it's a little not too slicey. But at the same time, that's one of the USPs of this knife, is the fact that it's not a sharpened pry bar, but it is a sharp and robust do-all kind of hard use knife. So this would be a great one to have on you. Plus, we were talking Loctite before. This lock you reinforce with your grip. That is one thing that I do like about the frame lock over the liner lock. With the frame lock, the mere act of holding the knife reinforces the lock. So the Spartan Harzy Folder. Next up, this is a really great and inexpensive camp knife that I got from the makers. This is BPS Knives, father and son team in Ukraine. They sent this to me, and I've been loving this thing. This is the HK5. It is, I believe, $30. It is 1066 high carbon steel. It's got a beautiful sort of clip point blade here, and is sharp as the day is long. And this is a Scandi edge that's been stropped and just is so damn sharp. And then perfect ergonomics here on the handle. The ergonomics of this are outstanding. And the you've got the four finger grooves, and they fit my hand, and they fit larger hands very well too, I know for a fact. This is a 90 degree spine. You could definitely throw sparks off of there. And I love the blade shape. Love the blade shape. But really, man, they got this thing so wickedly sharp. I have a lanyard on here that I originally put on just to help pull it out of the sheath, because this gorgeous, thick, full grain leather sheath was tight when I first got it. But it has taken on the shape of the blade nicely. So this is actually not even necessary. But I'll leave it on there. And also a dangler sheath that is really actually quite nice. It stays out of the way, doesn't flop around too much. But why do I think this would be a great knife to get stranded with? Well, because it's no frills, no nonsense. It's got a super robust but extremely strong edge with that Scandi grind. It also has an aggressive profile. If you needed it as a weapon, you'd be in good shape with it. And it's very, very comfortable. I feel like you could do a lot of work with this all day long. It is an unfinished handle, and yet it is contoured and sanded and feels really nice in hand. So a great knife to get stranded with is the BPS HK5. All right, so I was thinking about, what about if I have some sort of a cool, modern Chinese folder, something, you know, in the realm of the affordable but fancy Chinese cool construction. So this one just jumped out at me. It's the MaxAce Sandstorm. It is a big 4.5-inch blade. You've got an inch and a half high height, flat grind on a relatively, modest blade stock. So it's very sharp and thin and slicey behind the edge, but you've got a big blade to be working with here. You've got a great point, and swedge here for any sort of thrusting or defensive thing, reason you might need this in a stranding, situation. But you also have a very large blade. You have a very large, very broad blade and a nice big handle. It's a fat handle. It's good contouring, gives you a number of different places to grab on it. And this is a K110, so that's a D2 tool steel. And then it's got an annoying feature that in a stranding situation would be awesome. It's got the rotoblock. It's got this I don't know what they call it, what MaxAce calls it, but you turn that lock there and you cannot close the liner lock. So it becomes a much more locked up knife. So it's nice and big, but it's the sort of thing I might have in my pocket on any given day. And this would be a great one to be stranded with due to the size and the tough build of it, and then the additional lock. Okay, next up, I was looking at my Topps knives, and I do have a number of good ones. The Prather War Bowie would be cool to have on me. The the Tex Creek would be a good one to have on me. But this one doesn't get enough attention and occurred to me this would be a great one to have on. This is the Wild Pig Hunter in a sumptuous, beautiful leather sheath. Okay, so why the Wild Pig Hunter? Well, I'll show you. First of all, it is full tang. It's a full tang quarter inch slab that has a distal taper, but not too extreme. It only starts to taper right here. So it is stiff and rigid for hog hunting. And then in cross section, it has this sort of I-beam structure, down the center. So it's got a raised ridge there. It's extremely rigid for thrusting. So this is the kind of knife you could turn into a spear for hunting in a stranding situation. But it also has a very sharp edge and a grind that only goes halfway up the blade. So a saber grind that, and differentially heat treated, you can see right there. So a very good, cutting edge. And, you can do a lot of work with that edge and not worry about it chipping out or anything like that because it's 1095 steel. We all know 1095 is great and tough, but it does have a sort of wedge-like geometry and yet remains very, very, very sharp. So you could use it, for a lot of finer, cutting tasks and yet still have, the meat behind the edge, to really, go to town with this and not be too concerned that being stranded, you're going to lose your only knife. And it's nice and pointed and yet very stout all the way up near to the point. Of course, you got micarta. This awesome material is just great when it's dry, wet, no matter what. And then the grooves they put in there make it excellent. And not for nothing, if you needed to fend off a wild pig, this is the knife. All right, I'm going to put it back in this sheath. This also comes in an all-black version that comes with a black Kydex sheath. And I believe the original, it's a Russian knife, a Kislyar, and I think the Russian military uses a knife that looks a lot like that. Next up, in folders, I was thinking about flippers. What flipper would I want to get stranded with? I know, sounds funny, but some days that's how I pick my knives. I want a flipper. So it would be this one. I thought immediately of off-grid knives. And, because they do make the most robust flippers, that I have in my, I've used robust like 100 times. I do apologize. They make the stoutest, folders in my collection that are flippers. And this one, I think it's chief among them for a stout feeling. 154 cm. You've got a high height, saber grind. And as all off-grid knives, the Rhino is very, this is a Rhino V2, by the way. The Rhino is very thin behind the edge and very sharp. That's one thing I always talk about with off-grid knives is how thin they are and what a dream they are to use with, say, cardboard and that kind of thing. But other tasks, no doubt. It is just has a very sturdy feel. Light skeletonization in there, but very, very sturdy with the liners and the G10. And then I'm going to put this up to the mic. Listen to the flipping. I mean, it just has a all business sound, and that sound is really, really great lockup. Made by Best Tech, designed by Off Grid Knives. Great ergonomics. Could use this all day long. Does have a center line point, so you know, could be useful as a combative instrument. But really, this would just make a great utility folder flipper to get stranded with. All right, last in the list, I couldn't do this list without saying, well, there is a chance I could be driving around and have this with me. This is my most proven knife outside doing everything, and that is the Trailmaster Bowie by Cold Steel. And this is old school. It's got the leather sheath. Wish Cold Steel would go back to leather. They did some really good leather stuff. Like the Natchez, man, it's a shame they don't make the Natchez and the Laredo Bowie with leather anymore. But anyway, this is an incredible do-all knife. You've seen me talk about this many times. I think that's 5/16 of an inch. It seems like it is, but it probably just a quarter inch with the distal taper, zero ground swedge, so it will chew up your baton a little bit. But this is what I use to make kindling and this is what I baton with. I absolutely love it. It is wedge-like in cross-section, but it's got a high edge bevel, so is wickedly sharp. I recently took this to my grinder and got a really nice edge on it because I've had this for probably going on, I don't know, over 25 years, and never, you know, I sharpened it a little bit here and there, but never put a new edge on it. So I recently did that. Love the patina here. This handle is held up. This Kraton, after so many years, doesn't have that nasty coming apart, melty feeling that old rubber has. And this thing is just great. If you have a decent amount of money to spend on just one Bowie knife ever, or even one fixed blade ever, I cannot recommend the Cold Steel Trailmaster enough. This is such a great knife in all of its iterations and makes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me in this quest to find the 10 best knives to get stranded with. These are incidental things. This is not going out packing for disaster. This is something I have in my car when it all goes down. I also incidentally have a Recon Tonto. No. What is it? The GI Tonto in my car. A very inexpensive cold steel that is and would be great in the situations I outlined here. Plus, if you lose it, it's no great loss. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks for watching. Be sure to tune in Sunday for a great interview show. And of course, tomorrow night, Thursday Night Knives. And coming up this weekend, don't forget, on Friday, it is Knives Live going into Saturday, and we have the 3 p.m. Saturday slot. So be sure to join us there. Also, be sure to join us at Patreon. Just scan the QR code right on the screen or go to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. For Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.